I too am glad to be able to greet you in Jesus' name this morning, and appreciate it being with you these days and watching the Lord at work. Appreciate it also the introduction that we've had this morning to the work and speaking to. I don't think I could think of any groups that were left out that might be thinking about the work and different ways of looking at it, as we've looked at this morning. Subject assigned to me is "They Shall Keep the Way," from Genesis chapter 18, if you'll turn there. Genesis chapter 18, and I'd like to begin by reading verses 16 through 23. Of course, our text verse and the phrase of that verse is found in verse 19 of this passage, and we'll come back to that after we've read these verses. Verse 16, "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord." After the news, the big news, I guess, in the prior verses to this concerning Sarah, the men were on their next mission, and that was a visit to Sodom. Abraham, being a caring and a cordial man, seems to go with them partway, kind of maybe like we would if a visitor was at our place and wasn't sure of the directions. Puts them back on track and shows them, turns them toward Sodom. One of the things that stands out to us in these verses is the genuine concern that Abraham had about and around Sodom. After all, it was his near relative, his nephew, that was there. The care for Lot is shown several times in the scripture. One of those being the one that I was not as familiar with until I studied for this in Genesis 14, when Lot was taken prisoner. And there you really, really see the care and the concern of Abraham. Abraham heard that news that Lot had been taken captive, and Abraham proves his concern by taking over, I believe it was a little over 300 of his personal servants to pursue the enemies and to hopefully rescue Lot. And one of the interesting things is the power that Abraham had, the man that he was, I believe he really showed his concern by he being one of the number that went. He being one of the rescue team, he might have said, well, I'll get my best servants on this and send them, and I'm sure that there'll be results from this. And he certainly put a lot of confidence in his servants as they went. However, I think it's a lesson for us as we think about the life of Abraham and how it relates to leadership today. He puts himself there and goes with them. And one of the times when he shows his real concern for Lot. And that kind of stands out to us as we look at this scripture and that story back there in Genesis 14, that account ends well as Abraham and his servants indeed do bring back Lot and those with him and their goods, I think is what the word tells us. And going back to our text and verse 17, the Lord seems to be pondering at this time. Shall I tell Abraham what needs to be done at Sodom? And you see the concern once again there that Abraham has. I believe probably the Lord saw that look of compassion on Abraham's face when he asked that question, shall I keep this from him? Shall I hide this from him, or shall I tell him what needs to be done? Knowing the care and the concern that you have. But I believe the answer comes in verse 20. The Lord must have felt, I'll need to tell him. And he does speak to Abraham about Sodom, tells him the cry of Sodom is great. There is terrible sin. I will go down and make sure. And by being there, if indeed it is as it has been heard, as it has come to me, I will check that. I will see that. And then in verse 22, the men continue on their way towards Sodom. The men are heading now toward Sodom. But the other part of that verse stands out to me even more. The men are on their way now towards Sodom, but where's Abraham? Of course, we know that he was not going to go with them this time. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And that stood out to me as I thought about the life of Abraham. Not only did he yet stand, he also drew near. And I began to see the comparison of prayer. I believe really, especially as we would apply it today, that's what's happening. He stood there. He was not satisfied to not continue on with his concern for Sodom. So he stood there, not in stubbornness, but in care and in concern. He stood there. And then he drew near. That's the difference sometimes when if we just stand, to simply stand, or if we stand and draw near while we're standing or after we've stood. And we know the account of Abraham's intercession then in the verses following, the ones that we've looked at, verses 24 through 32, when finally it came down to where the Lord said, no, okay, I'm not going to destroy it for the sake of 10 people. If there are 10 righteous. The numbers got less and less as the time went on. But again, you see the care and the concern, the burden that Abraham had for Lot and for the people in Sodom. I also love verse 33. And after this had taken place, the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Now, we're going to talk about a person of prayer in a little bit and the practical points of this subject, they shall keep the way, concerning leadership and concerning the need of these aspects that we can use from Abraham as an example for us today. But I just want to, while we're at that verse, at verse 33, I want us to see the precious blessing of communing with God. Abraham had all of the concern that we're talking about, that we've looked at, the concern, the burden that went with that. And he did everything that he could do in man's ability or man's concern. But now he did what he could do. And it seems as though peaceably he returns to his place with knowing it is in God's hands. And that's the outcome. That's the blessing of communion with God and real prayer. We can struggle in prayer. We can be there a long time before God, but finally true prayer is when we get up and get on our way again and deal with life and the things of life as we ought to, knowing that we have done what we could. He returns to his place. The blessing of communing with God is a very real point of this scripture. And now looking at the practical aspects around our title, they shall keep the way. The they in this title are the children and household. And the way is the way of the Lord. But who will show them the way? This is also about someone showing them the way. First, I'd like to, the first person that is one that is more able to show people the way, the first person like that is the person of prayer. Number one, person of prayer. And we've just looked at a great example of prayer and communing with God and somewhat the aspects of true prayer. And certainly it is a great part of our Christian lives, whoever we may be again. But it is certainly becomes the responsibilities sometimes become larger and prayer becomes more important as we look at them, because now we're facing things that maybe we haven't faced before. So we can do several things with that, but the best thing we could do is spend more time in prayer. I am so thankful for the greatest example I had in concerning prayer, and that was my father. My father was not a minister, but he was a man of prayer. And we had a garage. It was an older house. And so it was a detached garage, just a little garage, as I remember it, hardly wide enough for a car to fit in. But in the back part of that garage, there was a place that other things were kept. And one of the places that was in that place where other things were kept was a quiet place, probably a kneeling pad. I don't remember that for sure, but I'm sure with the amount of prayer and the time of prayer, there was that included back in the back part of that garage. And that's where he would go. He would go there to be alone with God. He would go there because he prayed. I'm sure he prayed quietly sometimes, but other times when it was more intense, it wasn't quiet any longer. And he wanted to be there alone with God. And back then I didn't realize it for what it was, the value, the strength. I have looked back in my own life time after time and looked at some almosts in my life. What if I had gone one step farther? You know what? I think I know one of the reasons I was spared. That was my father's prayer. And after he passed away, I missed him for many reasons, of course. But probably that was the biggest reason, because I really believe there was strength found in his prayer right up until he could pray no more. And if he would have been, if he'd be living and he'd know I'd be serving here today, he would be praying for the church and for the sermons and my part in this as well. The challenges, and this is speaking somewhat to those who are going on to receiving a call from God in a special way and have had that, but it's for everyone, dear ones. Prayer is a part of the Christian life. And you can be a person such as my father was, who leaves that example, where your children will look back and say the same thing, hopefully, that I am able to say today concerning the life of my father. Prayer. And this sermon, of course, is given in a series of ordination messages. And I really believe that as it relates to that, where there is great leadership, there are great men of prayer. The power of prayer will enable us to be ones who are, with God's grace, able to show people the way. Oh, the devil wants to so bad keep us occupied with other things. Keep us busy in even good things. Somewhere away from prayer. What a blessing it is when we hear that one of the reasons that someone is busier is because part of the reason for them being busier is they are praying more. And I would just like to encourage the one who will receive more responsibility here this evening, Lord willing, to make this a special time. And I know people vary on their times that prayer is the most beneficial, but I really believe that, I guess I speak from personal testimony, but I believe for the most part, the morning is just a great time to be alone with God, and there's reasons for that. Where our day, we can kind of adjust the time that we need to do that, because we know when our phones start ringing and the cares of the day start, we know probably about what time that is. So adjust the time somewhere behind that, earlier. And you will have a time you can be alone with God in prayer, in meditation. It's a special time. Make that a special time for you to receive the strength that you need and be the praying person that you need to be. I know it continues on, pray without ceasing, but I really believe there's value and strength for that. And I find that from personal experience. Indeed, someone showing the way will be a person of prayer. The 12 said in Acts chapter 6, it is not desirable that we should leave the word and serve tables, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Number two, the way is shown by one who obeys God's call. Abraham had a divine call, no doubt. While living with his father in Haran, he received a message from the Lord calling him to head into a new country, new territory, new people. Brother Steve alluded to this in his message Friday night. The blessings of Abraham setting the example, if you remember. Abraham obeyed the call, and he became a leader of that great host of pilgrims who we are told about in the Bible, who have sought a city whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. You can also read about it in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Obeyed the call. And while he obeyed the call, while he went through life, it was an ongoing part of life for him to be obedient and to obey that call as he ought to. And I really believe that one of the reasons is that he was also seeking another city. And that's the one talked about there in Hebrews, a city whose builder and maker is God. The focus, as one obeys the call, he answers the needs to the call daily, but he also has his eyes upon a greater city. The call from God comes to men today, ordination time being one of those special times. The circumstances will not be the same as it was for Abraham around it. However, the need to obey the call is just as important. There are souls who look to those called for direction. The call to ordination leads to other calls. However, I believe that this is a special time. This is a special call that we have been called. And it's well to look at it that way. We go back to that many times as we think about our duty and when we become weary in the battle or whatever it may be, but I have been called and I need to be obedient to the call. And it helps us. We go back. We go back to the time when we have made our commitment. And as a brother will do tonight, make those vows before you and God. And we say, I remember. And then you can maybe see through personal illustrations, people you know, whoever it might have been, or just realize, when we realize the need of being obedient to God, to realize the danger of being disobedient to this divine call. And what would happen at that point if there is disobedience in rebelling against the call of God? It's a serious element of disobedience. Think of the great assistance that is given to one's children and household. Remember, that's who the they are when it was speaking here in Genesis. One's children and household. And now think of the great assistance that is given to one's children and household. And you can take it right on into the household or the family of God, the church. But the great assistance that is given by one who obeys God's call. They shall keep the way. Please obey God's call. Because only as we obey God's call do we truly promote keeping the way and being the people of the way that we ought to be. Thirdly, someone showing the way leads by example. Our text verse in verse 19 shows the proof. They shall keep the way of the Lord. But then it has something behind that phrase. They shall keep the way of the Lord, doing justice and judgment. Someone showing the way leads by example. When I think of justice and judgment, I'm not sure what all that might involve, but I do know that one of the things that's included in that is integrity. For integrity to be passed along, it must be held by the leader. Recently heard of a sad experience of a of a man within the church in a Mennonite setting that failed, and the other party involved was not Mennonite, was not Anabaptist. And the phrase that stood out to me was this lady that was involved said, "If you can't trust a Mennonite, who can you trust?" Well, this comes to leadership today, and I believe I'll just insert the cry of the people that leaders have left down, where they would say, "If you can't trust a leader, who can you trust?" Integrity. It's very necessary. 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, you've looked at qualifications several weeks ago. Most likely the brother talked about this one. The qualification for leadership as blameless. That's leading by example is the point that we're looking at here. Blameless, as I understand, it means above reproach. It means not subject to accusation. Or as someone said, simply put, it means leaders must have a reputation of unimpeachable integrity. In the government, if something goes wrong, impeachment is talked about pretty quick. And I think that's where this thought comes from. The leaders must have a reputation of unimpeachable integrity. Spiritual leaders set the example for others to follow. Will the way be kept, or will the way be hindered because of the example or the lack of example set by leaders? There's an interesting verse. We'll not turn to that, but in Hosea 4:9, the thought is there how as people or as leadership, so the people. And that's that part of example. Like people, like priest. Acts 6 speaks of the need of men of good reputation. Paul adds to this good reputation, not only is it within the church, but it is also among unbelievers as well. And the balance, some men have done well in one part, possibly. However, if one fails, the other is going to fail as well. It's a part of life. We aren't split in half, and half of good reputation and half of not. So it's within and it's without, among others as well. Someone showing the way leads by example. And fourthly, someone showing the way has great care for his children and household. And that comes back to applying that more to the text that we've looked at, but certainly applies to today. And I believe is the concern of the one who will be chosen today, and those who are serving in leadership, and it should be that way. We should be thinking about the responsibility that we have in caring for our children and household properly. The qualification, again, of a man needing to rule well his house ties in with this point. If sufficient Christ-like concern is there, there will be care there. There will be much care there. And where much care is, there is much order. And so therefore, it comes back to that desire and that walk of life that is Christ-like. because that's where the care develops, and that's going to be there for family. It's going to be there for others as well. The care for others based on a sufficient Christ-like love. And it's going to become a natural part of life. Not that we'll always pass the test completely, but it's through that Christ-like love and concern that we have that we come back to remembering our priorities. Sometimes men in leadership do well with the crowds, if you please. They do well with the hundreds or thousands, but overlook the few. And that is namely, as it applies to this point, his children and household. And it's sad to me when I get into homes and see pictures of families who have taken a different way, and often at times the saddest is when it becomes far different. Without the way, you know, they say a picture says a thousand words, where family members have taken a different way, away from the principles and practices that have meant much to us. And I certainly don't have answers, and I'm not, my heart goes out to cases and families like that. But I simply, in my mind, I ponder, what happened there? It could be this very point, a lack of a great care for his children and household. And maybe the question is a little bit more, what really does keeping the way include? Maybe then we know answers to other things as well. I think that's something that as fathers, as parents, we need to think through seriously in our minds what really is keeping the way. And when we have arrived at the answer to that, then we have an obligation around that to walk in that way, to be examples in that way. Certainly not that we have all the answers, or even many answers. But a simple practice and belief, this is the way we walk. And if the ones coming behind us see that we really believe and practice what we say, it will be of great assistance. And that certainly is what we can do in showing great care for our children and household. The words in Genesis 18 and verse 19 stood out to me, verse 19, for I know him, the first words of that verse. For I know him, the Lord, looking upon Abraham. What a blessing to have said of one. The Lord knew Abraham. There was confidence there. He will command his children and household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. He knew him. Now for you and me, the Lord knows us as well. Can the Lord depend on you? To the one who will be ordained The Lord knows you. And I believe our part of it is to seek to know him in a more, in a nearer and dearer way as we go on. And that is seeking to know him with all your heart. And I thought about it as I thought about this phrase, the Lord saying, "For I know him." What a blessing it is for him to look upon men of today and be able, we can hear him. If we could hear him saying, "Well, yes, I know him. He speaks to me often. When I nudge him, he responds." It was just last week he lost a lot of money, just to be totally honest. Yes, I know him. What a blessing to see his concern for his family. In fact, he talks to me more about his family than anything else. I know him. He knows me. Of course I know him. I know him personally. It's a mutual relationship that we have. They shall keep the way. What a blessing it will be for the faithful who will hear the words, and maybe not in these words, but as it pertains to the subject, where he will finally say, "Welcome home, you have kept the way." That's again going back to the thought of looking for a greater city as we labor together. This message is meant to be a message of discipleship for everyone. I believe there's room for everyone to see the need of drawing closer to Christ. A disciple of Christ will keep the way. Jesus taught, "If you are my disciple, and in my words, you must be with me." The challenge I leave with us, and the question I ask that we ask ourselves, are you with him? If you realize there is a gap there between you and God, draw near to him. Just let that desire turn into action of you drawing closer to God. And I would like to sing a song at the end of this message. I didn't get to talk to Brother Brian, but I think it's number 378 in your books. Familiar song that, "Oh, for a Closer Walk with God." Using this somewhat as a prayer at the conclusion of this message. And desiring to truly, whoever we are, wherever we are today, as Brother Raymond mentioned in the beginning, whoever, whatever we're thinking, whatever our thoughts be, this will be one that